Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle here in the United States, and as I like to say, in the Milky Way galaxy. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we'll make this place make this planet a better place. Out of This World Radio is also the fastest growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. And today's show will be really out of this world. During this hour, this first hour, we will be playing. I will be playing an interview I did with Scott Lemriel recently. He is the author of what's called the Say Raise Agenda. Scott's been in telepathic contact with the members of the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years. And what he has to say is truly out of this world. I want to thank everyone. Before we go to our guest, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and Orion Tech Computers in Bend, Oregon. I want to tell you, too, I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. I'll be happy to give people two full readings, psychic readings a month for $100 a month. Or for $500, I'll give people two full readings a month for 6 months. I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years, and my accuracy rate for readings is very high, and I can help with relationships, past lives, career choices, and contacting friends and family who've passed on. I can also teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you're interested in this, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me at 1-888-879-8339, toll-free in North America, or by Skype at Ted Marr, OTW Radio. This program is supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. Even a dollar will really help, and I want to thank everyone for their wonderful donations and support. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. Now I'd like to go on to our special guest, Scott Lemriel. You can listen to the show always at www.1150kknw.com during the show, and after the show you can always listen to the show at outofthisworld1150.com. Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm always happy to get on and serve and be of some benefit to your listeners and to you.
Well, you know, you're a wonderful friend, and thanks to you. Ambassador Twillian just popped in. He says to say hi to you, and you introduced me to the Galactic Alliance, and I want to thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, Twillian's here. You might explain to people, well, we can get into that, who he is and
sure.
Why he just popped in, because maybe people don't understand that.
Well,
you know,
well, I mean, he's a tall, I look up when he's here, I have to look up because he's a tall fellow. Yeah, he says he's tall.
Very tall.
Yeah. It's kind of funny with Earth humans, we're rather small in comparison.
Kind of in the dark about all this stuff usually.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to thank you so much for your wonderful work with the Galactic Alliance and also your Say Raise Agendas books. Now, a little bit of backup, if you could talk a little bit about your new book that's come out and maybe a background on the Galactic Alliance and what's going on. Sure, what's going on?
As of the Mount Shasta Summer Conference, which was in August, that you attended as well with me, Ted.
Right.
It came out right during, actually, I had books sent. It came out just before that, and then I had some books sent and was able to give some to some people and sign them at that event. So it's been published since the end of August, really, officially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the final fourth edition. It has a special 53-page, extensive, very special technique section in the back that is designed to provide a way for people to safely access deliberately hidden or suppressed truth on a multidimensional scale. And it's much and most important is that it's set up so they can begin to have their own experiences about the stuff that's revealed as hidden truth in that book.
Sure.
And then the Galactic Alliance, for me, working with them goes before this lifetime on this planet, through a number of millions of years, actually. But in this lifetime, it began when I was quite young.
Well, actually, you don't seem that old, millions of years. But
65, but that doesn't really count for much, because normal human being on another planet. Mm-hmm. These people have been kept in the dark here about on Earth about this. It's all under a classified system. But normal human beings on other planets who have not had certain genomes on their DNA shut off to keep them living no more than usually 100 years at most.
Right.
You know, a normal human being lives at least 1,000 mm-hmm. on other world systems.
My goodness. Wow, and that's amazing.
Yeah, and they have photographic memories. They're telepathic. Children are taught on their planet to leave their bodies at will, consciously. From the time they're born, they're encouraged in this way. So when a family or on another world travels between world systems, there are millions of them that they have trade between in very harmonious relationships. You know, they are aware of the other lives they've lived, not only in the physical universe, but in higher planes, and they carry this consciousness with them. So their motivation becomes to utilize the great gift of their creative imagination, what we choose to imagine through the third eye, through the pineal gland. They see into the universe and know truths with a certainty. There's not doubt or fear involved in that. They don't actually have a subconscious mind like people on Earth do. My connection with this whole awareness...
Oh, wait a minute, Scott. This is important. I think mm-hmm. your cat wants to say something. Do you want to bring him on the air? Or
who? Sure.
Your cat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, my friend.
So what was that?
Oh, yeah. You were talking about subconsciously that people have been, you know, their memories.
Well, it's done to them without their awareness or consent. You don't feel it. It's a subtle, diabolical deal to keep a mass of people ignorant. Not only of how they got here in this life, where they're going, and who they really are that isn't the physical body. This is common knowledge out there amongst the stars, even in the physical universe, in many, many world systems. So what's important and what I do and why I do what I do now, why I wrote the Save Race Agenda, it's spelled S-E-R-E-S. People come... that whole thing began when I was very young, when I had contact with beings. I think when I was about 5, a little earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an out-of-body experience, fully conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look for it. And I was looking at this little body walking up the steps to my parents' house in Salt Lake City, Utah, towards dusk. And I suddenly found myself hovering above the body as a sphere of energy.
My goodness.
Looking into a greater sphere above me, and in it mm-hmm. were geometric formulas, mathematical equations, extraterrestrial language I recognized, and
wow.
positions of the star patterns. And I looked at this, and I knew exactly where I was. I said, Earth, to myself. So I said to myself, Earth, what am I doing on Earth? It was a complete mystery to me. And I was a mature adult.
Wow.
And here's this little body that I somehow found myself in.
Oh, my goodness.
Which later, much later in life, a few years ago, became the inspiration for writing the Savior's Agenda. But a lot of it came about after I started writing about these childhood experiences with extraterrestrials
mm-hmm.
that I never talked about to my mother, my parents, my father. No, I kept my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Ted, I was living at the time up in Bellevue, actually, in a place called Cherry Crest, up on a forested hilltop.
That's not far from my station here in Bellevue, Washington.
That's right. Not far from there. It was much more forest around there then.
Right.
From that hilltop, I could go out at night and stand on the narrow roads that wound between the houses and see Mount Rainier just crystal clear.
Wow.
So at those times, you know, the one in Utah started this off, and I had this experience of seeing my parents arguing, just a normal human argument. They weren't, mm-hmm. It wasn't violent. And I could see the energetic fields around their bodies, their, what people call auras, or their electromagnetic field around their bodies and the different colors, and then in between them was this red barrier and sparks coming off it. This is a normal argument.
Mm-hmm.
That was very painful to me as a being,
mm-hmm.
out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to go back into that form and kind of forget all this for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But it drove me in a certain direction. Then Washington State, when I was about 11, in Bellevue, in Cherry Crest, actually, which is what we talked about, I decided what I wanted to know what... I've told this story before, but it's important, I think, for people to get a little background.
Right.
I wanted to find out what beer tasted like. My parents, like everybody back there, this has got to be back around 19, 60 or 61.
Mm-hmm.
And at a time when UFO sightings around the world all were taking place in massive amounts, and there were squadrons seen around the Mount Rainier, and a Piper Cub pilot coined the phrase flying saucer because he was able to take photographs or some kind of video camera of some of the ships that were flying around it, and it became very famous. But it was at that time period. And so I snuck in the fridge one night, grabbed a can of beer, my dad's beer, and climbed out the window, walked across the dew-laden grass, got up to this narrow roadway, and the stars were just spectacular above my head. Cloudless, moonless, beautiful starlit night sky, quiet, could hear a few crickets, and I popped the can of this beer. Next thing I knew, I was on my back, spread eagle, with this can in my left hand, open, unspilled, held upright, and I was looking at this 30, what I estimated to be a 30-foot in diameter ship, a saucer-shaped or disc-shaped craft pulsating from blue to white light, no sound. And I was just mesmerized by this, but there was no fear.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have any of the threatening abduction experiences so many people have had in the background in the past number of years. And then there was a telepathic communication that began between what I knew was a benevolent human male aboard, the pilot aboard this craft. And that went on for about 15 minutes. It was a lot of information. I understood it on some level, but I couldn't have used it or worked with it as an 11-year-old boy. But while this was going on, I discovered a great many things. And then the ship just pulsated from blue to white light faster and faster until it became a bright white light and it shot up in space. I got up off the ground, calm, no fear, looked at this beer, hadn't tasted it, dumped it out, put the can in the garbage,
went
in the bedroom window, went back to bed.
This is an important question, serious question, Scott, but what do you remember the brand of the beer that you were drinking?
I don't remember if it was Budweiser or what.
If it was Budweiser, think of it, you could contact Budweiser, maybe make a great commercial out of it. You know, drink a beer.
Yeah, don't think they'd want me to make money off that.
Just Ambassador Trillian's laughing right now. Anyway.
Yeah, he'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
We'll get into who he is for folks listening in a little bit.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, about a week later, I was coming. I didn't tell anybody about this experience. And no, folks out there, it was not a dream. I didn't wake up in the morning and dream this. I was really there. In fact, I didn't sleep the rest of the night. You know, I got up in the morning, and I went to school, tired, of course. But about a week later, I was coming home, and this bus, I would be the last person they'd drop off. Up on driving up a mile and a half up the hill, dropped me off at a wooden bus shed, and I'd, you know, get off the bus and watch it go down the hill another mile and disappear in the trees.
Right.
I took a step, and my head was pulled up by some benevolent force, a kind force, wasn't mm-hmm. threatening. And I was looking at two groups of these same ships in triangular formation, I think 15 in each one, and this same telepathic thing began between this benevolent human male, who was actually the captain or the head officer of these two groups. And that went on for a few minutes, and I don't know how long, maybe five or six. And then they broke apart and did this spectacular aeronautical feats in the air, you know, darting off in the distance, shooting around each other, making 90 degree turns and all this stuff. Then they regrouped. And then they just tipped towards me, I don't know why, and then they darted up into space and were gone.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So I walked home,
beautiful.
Told no one, never mentioned it. That was some of the beginning things that started me off. There were more that happened in the Salt Lake City, coming towards Salt Lake City at 3 in the morning. It was a cloudless, star-filled sky, too. We can talk about that later, or maybe I can get into that another time. We mm-hmm. have other things we want to talk about. But the experiences went on throughout my life. Many of the experiences were conscious out-of-body experiences because it's more practical. People go out of their body at night, everyone. They don't realize it. Part of the suppression technology that's been used on people here kind of blocks or prevents them from bringing back much clarity or memory for many people.
That's too bad.
But everybody goes out at night.
Sure.
And, you know, some people remember dreams that are very vivid and they seem to be more real than here.
Right.
They're actually somewhere visiting that locale. The information when you come back in sometimes gets distorted and jumbled with many other things, which makes the dreams confusing.
Sure.
When you try to record them back here in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because of what are called implants, which are terrorizing, artificially created, subconsciously implanted holographic-type programs in the electromagnetic field around people.
Implanted by the reptilians.
Well, yeah, and races that they have had dominance over.
Sure, and the grays.
Done the little grays, sometimes the tall whites and stuff like that.
Sure, right.
There are some benevolent groups out there, smaller factions that are not dominated by tyrant races in those orders, but the majority of them have been controlled by a tyrant race, imperial race. And so when people try to bring back this stuff, they oftentimes have a great deal of trouble remembering clearly. Sometimes they do, and the purpose of this is to always keep them in a little bit of doubt. That sometimes you'll have a complete out-of-body experience, and you'll bring back this dream of flying or something wonderful. And then you'll have a whole series of nights of jumbled-up nonsense. And what that does to people is keep them in doubt as to whether or not the real ones they brought back are even valid.
Right. Right.
And it does work. It keeps people.
Isn't that done through the mass media as well, where the mass media also sows a lot of doubt with people?
Yeah, because the people that own these corporations, most of the telecommunication systems and NBC, ABC, Paramount, and all those things, CBS, were bought up by the military-industrial complex corporations after World War II, gradually over time.
Sure.
So, you know, that means that what they talk about and what stories are released are very well controlled.
Yeah.
This all came about because of the National Security Act, which created a system of being able to classify what hidden government people are doing, keep it from the public. Its purpose is to simply keep what they're doing from the public, our public, foreign public, anybody and everyone, other than an elite group.
Well, they've done that a good job at it over the years, haven't they?
They've done a very thorough job, but they're doing it. And have been able to do it with the assistance of and the technology, the misuse of technology that's extraterrestrial in nature.
Okay, yeah, right.
So that goes through the satellite system. As you know, Ted, there's a lot of things underway now to begin to set people free from these diabolical controls.
Right, thank goodness.
And we wouldn't be on the air now.
Right, that's true. We wouldn't be on the air.
Right. No. Nobody's interfering with the signal on the phone.
No, it's fine.
And when you're on your show live, you know, there's nobody cutting off your programs.
That's true.
This has happened to other radio show hosts, and it's happened before, but they're having a devil of a time trying to do that now.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That is a good thing, absolutely.
So, did you want me to tell a little more story about the childhood stuff or when I was a young adult?
Well,
would you like to go into other things?
I would like to, if you don't mind, I'll come back to that if we get time, but what I'd love to do is what the Galactic Alliance is doing now to help us out and the true nature of humanity. Because I know that sometimes it's tough for people out there, Scott, and they're thinking, oh, how are we ever going to create a better planet? But I kind of in a positive vein, what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, why don't we take the last one first.
Okay.
The true nature of a human being. There is a word in front of human, H-U, and this was originally used and is used by benevolent extraterrestrial races to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is an incredibly important statement that I make here. I make it with certainty of knowing about what I'm talking about. And I don't ask people to take my word for it, even if I'm certain it doesn't help them be certain. What I do is generally in my books now and in talks at conferences around the world, as you know, Ted, I will talk about this stuff, but then I'll demonstrate a very powerful use of this word. Not my power, but it's a one power that everybody has access to, and I show people how to use it, how to access it to begin to get the protection they need and the guidance they need to begin to undo this nonsense. Once they begin to use this, they're going to find that there's a protection that comes with it that absolutely prevents any kind of negative being in or out of bodies or negative technology off or world, extraterrestrial or on world, from affecting them while they're doing it. They just have to experience to know this for themselves, that it's true. So I ask them to experiment with it and try it for themselves, because eventually they're going to discover this for themselves. I did, and I'm no different from anybody else. So the normal nature of a human being, as they exist out in the galaxy, because they did not evolve on this earth, ever, No human being evolved here from primordial amoebas or, you know, dinosaurs that became birds or fish that came out of the sea or any of that stuff.
What a
joke.
Those
kinds of evolution happened for mammals and other things. But most mammals and plant life on this planet weren't native here either. They were brought here.
I know that for those in the Northwest here, the Madrona tree, actually, its life cycle is from Mars. It doesn't correspond with the Earth life cycle. It corresponds to the planet Mars, because I'm told it was brought here from Mars.
And many other things. Most mammalian species were brought here. Whales and dolphins didn't evolve here. There may be scientists biologists or people that study any kind of sea life or anything like that.
Wonderful. Well, I know
it may have been trained in universities from the PhD professors that taught them that about they think that this stuff came from Earth. But you got to remember, all that stuff is theory, and none of it's provable.
Right. Well.
So, to get back to what I'm talking about,
sure,
as far as the nature of a human being on other mm-hmm. worlds where they haven't been put through this suppressive technology stuff, mm-hmm. a human being lives at least 1,000 years, up to 20. If they need it for a particular life, but it's under their control. They aren't stuck in bodies. They can get in or out of them.
Right.
They're aware of other existence they've had in other forms and other lives and other worlds, including Earth. It's not blocked from them.
Can I tell you something interesting?
Sure.
I had an interview recently with a fellow named Kiwani Leprosidis. He lives in eastern Washington near Spokane, and he has been in telepathic contact with the Sasquatch and physical contact as well during the last probably 20, 30 years. And he's saying the same thing, that the Sasquatch are actually highly evolved. They were here before we humans were here. They go in and out of their dimensions from this third dimension into the fifth dimension.
And that's very possible because, you know, beings like that would be more rugged to withstand the kind of vibrations and stuff here long ago.
Sure.
You know, dinosaurs went extinct 55 million years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there has been, this world has been capable of supporting human life in our form for over 50 million years. There have been beings coming here in one form or another from other worlds under different scenarios and different colonizations since that time of the dinosaurs' extinction. They would generally come here after the natural cycle. You call it natural, but the poles of this planet flip overnight every 100,000 years, just like clockwork.
Sure. Right, right.
There's been 6 ice ages in 600,000 years. That's verifiable scientifically, and it's fairly recent. And it's also classified now. But this is true. And it usually destroys life on the surface. Continents sink, the seafloor rises up to counterbalance things, and we get new land masses. It's a very violent, very, very sudden affair. So what they'll do, people that can leave, under off-world treaty, different races, both totalitarian and benevolent, have been able to have small bases for scientific research and other things at different points in this world.
Right.
It's never been allowed to be owned by any one race, good or bad, mm-hmm. and it hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a little outpost in Samaria, or
really?
Maybe the Yucatan, the Mayan, Aztec cultures, who worshipped
Amazing.
Certain beings and made sacrifices to them of people. These were not benevolent cultures, Egypt and all this stuff, or Rome. These were tyrant cultures. They always had sacrifices of people involved. This is the influence of an off-world tyrannical race.
So the Roman Empire was actually influenced by the reptilians?
Of course.
Fascinating.
Of course. They set these bloodlines up in power to control masses of people. The basic purpose for it then was to be able to mine certain precious minerals and resources from the world. They would bring their human slaves with them into these cultures they would establish,
okay,
and get these certain resources out of a certain area of the earth till they're depleted, and then generally just leave the humans behind with certain genomes shut down so they can't live the 1,000 years. They can't access
right.
their photographic memory for the most
right.
part.
Right.
They shut down their telepathic function, leaving them with only intuition, and then they're just discarded.
I have to ask you this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have to ask you this question. As you know, I had Corey Good on my show about 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey was with the American Secret Space Program for like 20 years. He lived on Mars for many, many years and out
right,
beyond
right.
the dark side of the moon and out in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that there are about 6-7 million humans now living on Mars in virtual... well, actually, this is actually coming from Randy Kramer, another participant in the secret...
Slavery, America. Perhaps?
Slavery and kind of like Nazi-like social Darwinism conditions, where they're ruled by a tyrannical dictator for forced labor in these slave high-tech manufacturing plants, which... many major corporations here on planet Earth are involved in. For example, Boeing. I think Boeing definitely is involved.
Well, you know, the only way you can get away with something like that is to classify everything.
Right, right. But what how
are you going to get... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that are they, from your friends in the Galactic Alliance, are the humans up on Mars controlled much like these old, like the old Roman civilization? They're controlled. It sounds like it's a horrible existence of which we know nothing about.
Well, think about it. If you were in a system that insists you sign documents that says you cannot talk about anything you see, experience, terrorized by, or anything else, or you're going to be put in jail or killed or threatened with both.
Anyway,
we were talking about the true nature of a human being, weren't we?
We were talking about the true nature of human beings and how that we're benevolent creatures and that what we've been messed with and controlled by entities, negative entities that don't have our best interests at heart.
No, they look at the planet as simply a place for get resources, and human beings to them are expendable.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, most of the most diabolical things that were taking place, abductions, eating people alive, yes, that happened too,
awful,
has been stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is permanently gone, so you won't see much any more of that.
Mm-hmm.
So things are underway now that, again, are not allowed to be made public to the awareness of people here yet.
Right.
Many people around the planet are beginning to experience something extraordinary has changed recently that is making it possible to change the negative prophesied destiny for this planet permanently.
Oh, good.
Bring about a change here that has not existed in many, many millions of years for this planet, including the suspension of the polar shifts of this planet.
Wow.
It's not been a fair playing field. You know, people from other world systems where the worlds don't flip like that, they've been able to develop their cultures for many millions of years consistently. On Earth, no one culture has ever been allowed to exist longer than 100,000 years for a long time. And so it keeps this world from evolving past a certain point. And Earth is unusual in this regard. So there's several problems that need to be solved to correct that for this planet and the people that live here. The people who live here, the different races we have on this planet, did not originate here. They originated on worlds where that particular type of race is collectively the predominant race on that entire world. Whether they're Asian, African-American, Caucasian, these are all indicative of planets out there where races evolved like this. They were brought here,
sure,
usually brought here as slaves and left to procreate with genomes shut down and unconscious.
Right.
And that's the real history of this planet.
Wow, amazing, amazing.
What I share with people, that's the human being part of it. And the Galactic Alliance part of it has to do with, as you know, Ted, more than 450 million highly evolved space-faring cultures in our galaxy alone, in what are parallel dimensions, 144 of them, before you'd even get to what people call the astral plane. These are physical planets at different rates of vibration and different planes at different frequency that are just as solid as here, and the beings on those worlds have trade, and they can move in their craft and technology between these dimensions, not just the worlds in our physical universe we see through Hubble or that they can detect with radio telescopes. It's bigger than that. It's a lot bigger than
that. Well, I have to ask you this question, because Corey Good said a number of weeks ago on my show that that this cabal called the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate does trade with outside extraterrestrial groups from the high-tech things they manufacture on Mars. And there were like, I'm trying to remember, there were 900 ones extraterrestrial civilizations that they trade with on a regular basis, and another 1,200 that they trade on an irregular basis.
Makes sense to me, but it's all classified for the people of this Earth.
Right.
And it shouldn't be.
Right.
The excuses that an elitist group does, says we're human beings, but we are better than everyone else. We get to know, but all the rest of the people, the great majority of 7 billion, we don't want them to know.
I think that's unacceptable to most people on this planet who are
conscious.
No, of
course it isn't.
Yeah.
And that came about creating a second government, a classified government, that they thought was necessary to maintain extraterrestrial technological developments consistently, especially with the buildup of the Cold War of the Soviet Union. At that time, they wanted to have a government that could survive a sudden nuclear attack. If the cabinet president were killed, they had to have a government in place that's not part of the elected system, that can run things and continue to run things. And if there isn't a nuclear war, they wanted something, a system in place that could run these developments, technological developments from extraterrestrial sources, that could be consistently funded and continued to experiment with that for weapons and other things, that is not vulnerable to whether somebody's in the White House for 4 or 8 years, or which party.
Well.
So it started there after World War II officially.
Mm-hmm.
Been going on before that, but this was more officially put in place with the creation of the National Security Act under Truman.
Right.
So that's where this began. Unfortunately, Eisenhower signed a treaty with a totalitarian extraterrestrial group against his better judgment to get this technology in competition with the Soviet Union. And the ambassador of this group that he was allowed to meet with, he also met with good representatives prior to this,
right,
made him a different offer, which he turned down. But the one he had to accept was accepted because he, you know, this guy played one side against the other, and he basically said, if you don't sign a treaty with us to get the technology you want, we'll go to the Soviet Union, we'll make them the preeminent power on Earth.
Sure.
They used a blackmail system and also a technology of a device they carry on their belt to influence the subconscious of the individual to get them to do their bidding.
Oh, they did use that. Interesting. I was wondering about that.
Otherwise, he would never have gone for it. Eisenhower was a good man. He wouldn't have done it. So they were also in Russia at the same time, in the former Soviet Union, pitching this same deal to them. Both countries got this technology.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to understand. And when they created a second classified space program worldwide that could be kept from the people, that ran parallel to the NASA system, then they had to have a system of scientists, funders, corporations that could be classified in that system that would not work through the conscious awareness of the senators and Congress, the government in Washington, D.C. It had to be set up completely differently. And so they did that. And so we have this bases on the backside of the moon, Mars. People have gone out there. They're basically people from Earth in reverse-engineered ships and so forth, anti-gravity stuff that we have here, are not allowed to go, really not allowed to go outside this solar system. I don't care what anybody says. They may have gone on trips escorted beyond that, but not on their own, because what people don't know is that, and what the hidden government on this planet doesn't quite yet understand, well, maybe they do, is that all that space out there and those worlds and those things they think they're going to go out and plant an American flag on and get the resources out of are already occupied. They're already owned. They're already space out there is occupied by far more advanced races.
It's
never going to happen that way.
It's a little bit like, if I may, pardon me to interrupt there, Scott, but it's a little bit like the wild, so-called Wild West in the 19th century, of, you know, going out and conquering lands and, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it just is silly, really, because the whole
you
place
can't
is
do it with people that are more advanced than you that already
right.
hold those territories.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can go out there if you're a peaceful, benevolent race and work with them and trade and go on their planets and they can come here, yeah. But go out and conquer them? No.
Please,
that's
give me
the
a
thinking
break.
Of a tyrant extraterrestrial race.
Well, that's the kind of thinking we've got in the secret government, don't we? A tyrannical.
Well, it's
thinking?
Changing inside. Many people within that government, or even generals, are beginning to change their minds about who they're going to take orders from because
Excellent.
They know they're being controlled.
Excellent. Excellent.
Against their better judgment. So,
sure.
Basically, this change that's starting to be orchestrated here is being brought about by beings who have never been part of an implantation, suppressed genomes on their DNA, never been captured by reptilians or other extraterrestrials and used as slaves. They have the technology, the spirituality, to reverse all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People on Earth do not have that ability. I don't care which guru they follow or what they're doing. They're not going to get them free. If you noticed, all the gurus that have been out there on Earth have not done one thing, one iota, to really change the control or the negative destiny that the planet has headed in.
Sure.
In all these thousands of years. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're not good or that they can't help individuals evolve, but changing a world destiny, that is not possible to be done by the people here, because the people here have been shut down from having the true free will they really should have. The free will they think they have now is not real free will.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Or they'd remember all this stuff.
Sure.
That's as simple as this fact is. And the beings that are out that are bringing about this change, they're not going to kill reptilians or short grays or tall whites or harm these people. Because back in galactic history, these races were implanted themselves by a more tyrant race, and they can't help what they're doing any more than the hidden government can help controlling elected officials, who then they get to control the people. They were outthunk and outmaneuvered by race after the war that just was way ahead of the CIA or the Nazis. In fact, the Nazis got their advanced technology and engineering secretly and illegally given to them by a little gray guys and some
sure.
of the other races.
Right,
When the two, when the Nazi Germany was defeated in Japan and the scientists in Germany were split up between the Soviet and the U.S., guess what came along with the scientists who had a link with them?
Let me guess, the reptilians and the grays.
Well, mostly the grays, because the more tyrant races always use other races to do their terrorizing bidding.
Interesting.
By keeping themselves in the background, so because they know they're being monitored and watched by all the benevolent races, and everything they've done has been recorded. They've never gotten away with anything that somebody else didn't see.
Right.
It's just been, the biggest problem has been, how do you neutralize tyrant races that are tyrant out there in the universe on their world systems without killing and destroying? Because if you do it and you go to war, they'll just resurface somewhere else. It's like bad karma. If you use death and destruction to defeat death and destruction, it just comes back. So to get rid of it, you have to have something that will free those beings from the tyrant subconscious control mechanisms that drive them, and that is also true for people on this planet. So it isn't about harming anyone or hidden government or Illuminati or any of that, because I guarantee you, can tell you, these people are not in control of what they're doing, even if they think they are.
Sure. Right.
Or they would not do it.
Well, let me ask you real quick. I watched the Democratic debate the other night of various presidential candidates, and I couldn't help but think of your book, The Say-Race Agenda, which is a wonderful book about how many of our political leaders and business leaders in the United States and elsewhere on this planet are actually controlled.
They're aware of it or not, it's subconscious.
Sure, right. Right.
They're just outmaneuvered technologically, and the race that did it is more advanced and, you know, from where people were at World War II, and it's just as simple as that.
Right.
So really what I'm getting to here is that to change the history of this planet, it's going to take spiritual adepts not native to here, because many of the true ones aren't from Earth anyway. A lot of people know that. And it's going to take the benevolent races out there and their technology to know how to properly resolve this problem without death and destruction. That's what I mean about the changing prophesied destiny for this Earth.
Right.
Has been significantly changed. This is true about what happened at Fukushima.
Right.
Because that was 100 times worse than Chernobyl. More than that.
Well, wasn't... I mean, Fukushima was caused allegedly, and I say allegedly for the following reasons. It was allegedly caused by an earthquake, but it's common knowledge among most people in Japan. I've heard from the people in the Emoto office that the earthquake, so-called earthquake, was actually a nuclear bomb detonated by...
On the sea floor.
On the sea floor to...
simple to do, right.
...punish Japan and also kill off a lot of people around the globe with all the radiation.
It was a plan to eliminate a massive number of people on Earth. It isn't going to work and never did work.
Right, right.
And look, people, I just got an email while you were off the phone from somebody in Yugoslavia or Croatia somewhere who is fascinated with what I'm doing and had some doubts about what I said, because I said human beings were brought here starting 50 million years ago, and he intuitively correctly understood that human beings are much older than that, billions of years old, and I have to write him back and say, yeah, you're right, they are.
Right.
And then he wondered about Fukushima, and he says because people are still measuring high levels of radiation around the planet. He doesn't know about what you did, Ted, or about what Governor Brown announced about the high 60 rad plus radiation was coming ashore that was suddenly vanished.
Sure.
Doesn't mean all radiation's gone.
Right.
It just means that the diabolical negative intent of that accident, so-called, was to kill off millions of people. Many millions of people were killed from Chernobyl. That was one reactor that imploded or melted in.
Right.
These four blew their tops right off, and the nuclear rods went right out in the air.
Right. Amazing.
It should have killed everybody in Japan,
yep,
most of Russia and China, much of the Western United States.
Right.
And it didn't.
Right.
And it's not going to. And people are out there saying the whole seabed life is all dead now. You know, there are a lot of things that died from that radiation before it was neutralized, but the planet is not dead, and the sea life and the life in the sea and the mammals are not dead. They're not extinct. It's not all dead.
Right, right.
People are getting a lot of misinformation on the Internet because you can say anything you want on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that is designed to keep people in doubt. And when you can keep a person in doubt, you can keep them controlled because they won't lift a finger collectively to change or topple their tyrant leaders. And that's how they do it.
Now, one thing, I don't want to talk too much about this, but there is another show called Coast to Coast Radio. What is your opinion of that radio program?
Well, I had a great time on it. I was on it a year ago in March.
Good.
Or in May, I can't remember. 3-hour show with George Nuri, and
Wonderful.
It went very, very well.
Wonderful. They bring a lot of good people on the...
Well, the thing of it is, though, you know, it's a commercial-based radio station. It has sponsors and advertisers that fund that program by paying for the airtime, George Nuri's salary and all that. That's the nature of this planet right now, and they have diverse points of view on there every day of the week, from spooks and goblins to extraterrestrials to Corey Good. I don't think Corey's been on that show yet.
He has been.
So.
He was on.
But, you know, that kind of thing, and one night you'll have me on, another night you'll have some scientist on who's wondering if there's life in the universe.
Right, I know.
And that the function of that on a large scale is to keep people in doubt. You can have 20 years of Coast to Coast, and the people who are listening to it are still going to be in doubt about everything unless they've had the direct experience to know better.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's true of the Internet or the news media or major TV channels because those corporate heads, look, they get a phone call from somebody from Washington says, you know, CEO of NBC, we don't want you to air that thing about this ship that landed in Mexico and picked up people. We don't want you to do this because it's classified. It's national security answers. Don't do it or there's jail time and we'll fine you.
Right, exactly.
And that's all it takes
to
shut these guys up.
Right, right.
The bigger money people on Earth play ball. Not because they don't know better, because they can't help themselves.
Right, right.
That's something people need to understand. Don't blame them. Don't get into revenge and hatred and anger towards these people because they don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what
they're
doing.
They might think they do, but they aren't in control of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true of people on Earth in general.
Right.
So, you know, one of the other one of the primary traps tyrants use is to get people to hate what they think is the source of that tyrant nature.
Interesting.
To be caught up in revenge and negative low vibrations,
mm-hmm.
to hate Washington D.C., to hate the next president, to hate, you know, Obama, or hate Bush, or hate somebody.
Right, right.
That keeps them controlled under frequencies through the satellite that keeps the implants in their subconscious active.
Interesting. Fascinating.
And that's how people get just divided and conquered.
Sure, right, exactly.
When people start to hear this information,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to become aware they've been hoodwinked,
right.
the first reaction is to be angry. But if you drop that and go into the using the hue to access hidden truth safely, then all of that can go away and they can begin to recover what was taken from them without their consent or awareness.
Right, right.
Pretty much that's it in a nutshell.
Well, I think, too, the artificial distinctions we have, political distinctions in this country, in the United States, between the Republicans and Democrats is frankly ridiculous.
It's completely artificially done to keep people split.
It is. And, I mean, anymore, I vote for the best person. I don't care what their party affiliation is.
It won't do you any good.
No.
There's only two people that get sanctioned to be run for president in the end. And the people behind that don't care which one wins.
Yeah, that's true.
That gives you any idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure. Right, right.
It's not that they don't intend to do well when they're running for office, but once they get in there, suddenly they change, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do.
You notice when a leader of the country is speaking in a press conference and they blink a lot, they're lying.
Sure.
Or they're holding back a lot they know about. They're not telling the truth.
Right.
If they get on a talk show and do something and tell somebody something and let slip something and they don't blink, they're telling the truth.
Well, there was a case, it was a couple months ago, where Obama got on the air with Jerry Kimmel, is that right?
Yep, Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel, go ahead and tell that story if you don't mind.
Well, I happened to see it. It was on YouTube for a while because they air those shows. And Obama, Jimmy Kimmel said, now come on, like you always do with the president. Did you ever find out about UFOs? Did you go to Area 51 and all this? And he just said, this is his response. He said, well, you know, we're all controlled by extraterrestrials, and they hold a very tight rein over us.
Uh-huh.
And he looked like he was trying to make fun of the question, but he never blinked.
Right.
And then he went on to add more information Jimmy Kimmel did not ask for about that. So, you know, he's doing the best he can in his own way to tell the truth, but he's never going to do it from the White House under certain circumstances and now.
Well, I mean, if you take an extension of that, Scott, even if, for example, Abraham Lincoln were alive today, or Thomas Jefferson, or even George Washington,
they'd be the same way.
And they were in the White House, we'd still have Obamacare. We'd still have the NDAA, the National
Defense. See, I don't even talk about that stuff because it doesn't mean anything to me. It's all temporary, and it's not going to last forever.
Good.
The way it is.
Good.
They might think they're heading this world the way they want it to go, but as they're finding out, things are upending their diabolical plans right and left as we speak.
That's true. That's true, Scott. That's true.
So,
and you're doing your job,
you know, the reason
too.
I'm motivated to write this book, by the way, I have another book coming out.
Great.
Probably will start to be published next week. It's called The Emerald Doorway.
Cool.
The subtitle is Three Mystic Crystals.
Wonderful.
And it's the first of a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the hidden history of Earth and our solar system, polar flips, extraterrestrial influence, good and bad. Starting over 100,000 years ago, starts in present time, but it goes back to 100,000 years ago, before the last polar flip that destroyed ancient continent like Lemuria, later Atlantis, and things like that.
Wonderful.
And so it's going to be a good adventure, fun thing for people to go through. It has 31 illustrations in it,
nice
scenes and characters, and it basically will help to awaken in people a little bit more about the hidden history of Earth and our solar system that has been suppressed from their awareness. Mm-hmm. Because once a person starts to hear the truth, it connects to that place below these implants and begins to bring it to the surface, because it's done through this new ray that I talk about.
Right.
That only works one way, through the hue. It's blended into it. And it begins to start a process that's gradual at first and then accelerates to help a person recover what they once knew with certainty. All beings, all atmas, what people from other worlds call soul, have always had a commanding ability over any form of negativity, being, or technology.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been hoodwinked into not believing that anymore.
Mm.
So they use this great gift of their imagination, and they actually misuse it without realizing it, to love their own family, want a good life for themselves, but secretly fear and kind of desire an Armageddon or the end of the world. So they're actually doing two things with the imagination at the same time, split down the middle. One that's benevolent and one that's diabolical.
Right.
A negative destiny and future for themselves and their planet.
Right.
Tyrants
right.
know this.
Right.
So when people begin to use the creative imagination in only one correct way, which is to create and see and imagine, only those things which will be of benefit to all life, human, animal, plant, and not just life on our planet, but all life out there, good and bad, they begin to return to their true natural human state,
right,
which is divine in nature.
Right, right. Wonderful, wonderful, Scott. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, my friend, and I was wondering if you could practice the hue for us.
Yeah, I want to say, it's just like the name H-U-G-H, you know, when you say the name Hue, it's H-U. It is a vibration that connects through the pineal gland, the individual, directly to the source that is beyond anything dualistic or negative and positive. It's our true nature, so it connects the true nature that the individual is to the true nature of that source.
Right.
Bypasses all the nonsense in between and provides protection so a person can begin to wake that up. That's exactly what it does, and it only works one way. It cannot be manipulated or controlled by any negative power, being, or technology, period.
Sure.
That's a big statement, but I don't ask people to take my word for it.
Sure.
It sounds like this. You know, a person would get relaxed in a chair, laying on their back, take a couple of deep, relaxing breaths, and then just ask to be shown deliberately hidden truth on a grand, multidimensional scale to discover the much greater knowing of the love within it.
Sure.
Just like that. And then, you. On the outgoing breath. Pause. Just look and listen. Feel what's happening. And then send it out again.
You.
Take another breath. remember the question you're putting out into the you. You.
You.
Yes, it's simple, but you'll find there are a number of words that can be chanted or sung that vibrate certain chakras in the body. The Om from the East that people know is popular vibrates the throat and chest area. The Hue only vibrates the head upward. Basically, it opens a door through the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
This is the gland that soul enters the body through and controls the body. It's what it leaves to go out of the body at night when it secretes melatonin and serotonin to put the body on automatic. A sleep state, trance, called sleep. And so it runs the body and lungs and heart while you're out, basically. And you come back, you know, a normal human being would bring back all the awareness of where they've gone.
Right.
Here on Earth, people have a real devil of a time doing that, as you know.
Right, exactly.
The Hue begins the process of connecting you with beings who never intrude in a person's psyche or space. They are benevolent in that they will help people to recover their true state of direct knowing. Mm-hmm. Because they themselves are in that state.
Right.
It takes beings who are not trapped in any way to do that properly for others.
Right.
So the Hue begins to connect you to those beings out there that Hue to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind or being influenced by tyrants.
Scott,
that's the basic thing in a nutshell.
Pardon me for interrupting. I just wanted, for people who are just tuning in, this is KKNW, Out of This World Radio, with your host, Ted Marr, with a fascinating interview with my good friend, Scott Lemriel, the author of The Sayers Agenda. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to please say whatever you like, Scott.
Thanks, Ted. Well, I might as well, I don't know if this will happen, but it looks like Ted and I are invited to go to Finland.
Next March,
a special meeting of scientists and other people to talk about, and I will be sharing this and demonstrating for them how to do this. And so these are the kind of things that are starting to open up. You know, I was in Norway in October of this last year. Ted was there at an international UFO hidden truth disclosure type conference. And that video is up on YouTube. If you just go to, say, YouTube and type in The Sayers Agenda, you can watch both live two-hour presentations I conducted there. And there should be some video available soon from the Mount Shasta Summer Conference, from Ted's event last March.
Right.
And we'll be, as soon as we can, we'll get all those out there for people. To wrap things up for my part, there are two books now that are out. Well, one's out there now, The Sayers Agenda, Final Fourth Edition, and the first book of the Parallel Time Trilogy, which should be officially out by the end of the month. Might take a couple weeks for it to populate up on the retailers' websites, but I should be officially publishing it under my own publishing company imprint named Total Spectrum Publishing starting next week.
Wonderful.
Those things will help people in many ways. Hidden history of themselves and where they came from, where they're really going as beings, and The Sayers Agenda with practical techniques for them to explore this hidden truth safely. That's the basic message I want to put out there. And again, I ask that people explore this Hue in the ways that probably are in the back of The Sayers Agenda, explained very well, and begin to work with it patiently. Be good and kind to yourselves, and let this thing happen in a natural way, because it will. The main thing is that you, the listeners and people in the world, will have these experiences of knowing certainty and the truth that's been hidden from you, that they'll be your experiences, not mine.
Scott, I'm so sorry, my friend. We're run out of time.
I'm done.
Okay, wonderful.
Quickly, timing is everything.
Quickly, what's your website so people can look up more
information? It's at paralleltime.com, paralleltime.com.
Okay,
and
wonderful.
And they'll find videos there, and they can listen to radio shows I've been on just by clicking on the link on the lower left-hand side that says current and coming radio and TV shows with our Scott Lemriel.
Okay.
It'll go to a page where they can just go look at all that stuff.
Wonderful. Well, Scott, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on today, and I hope you have a bright and happy day.
Same to you, Ted.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on. Bye.
All right. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening today, friends. That was a fascinating interview I had with Scott Lemriel. He has been in both physical contact and telepathic contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years. He put me in touch with his friends from the Galactic Alliance last year, and since that time I've been receiving a lot of messages. According to my friends off-planet in the Galactic Alliance, our future is extremely bright. The timeline changed about 4 or 5 years ago, and believe me, our future and our children's future and our children's children's future will be is very, very bright for all of us. Thank you so much again for listening, and I hope you all have a fantastic, wonderful weekend. Bye-bye, everyone.